Save big during Labor Day at Lowe's. Get up to 40% off select major appliances. Plus, buy more to get up to an additional 20% off. Shop even more savings with 3 Stay Green 1 cubic foot vegetable and flower garden soil bags for $10. This Labor Day, take care of your home for less at Lowe's. We help. You save. Valid through 9/3. Soil offer excludes Alaska and Hawaii. Selection varies by location. Select locations only. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Hello everyone and welcome back to More Knowing Wheel, where today we finally return. Yes, for those of you that keep up with Knowing Wheel, you'll know we actually did a little preview show last week, of course, when Sebastian Vettel announced his retirement. And then, of course, during one of the most exciting races of the year, or one of the most chaotic, even, I should say. And then, of course, the absolute just carnage ensued, sudden driver transfer news. Jamie decided it would be a good time to be on holiday and not be able to record a show. So we've kind of missed everything over the last week or so. So this one is going to be interesting. I don't know why I decided to wait, but we have waited for Jamie to return. How are we doing, mate?
I'm good. I got back like about midday today, maybe a bit later than that. For context, I was actually asleep when Matt called me on Discord, so that sets a precedent of how this might go.
Yeah, I think this one is going to be a bit more of a rambly episode, to be honest. I mean, originally, we had still kind of planned just to do a bit of a Hungarian Grand Prix review, and then it took Jamie a week to come home. And then, of course,
I mean, you knew that.
No, you told me, to be fair, originally you told me you were home at some point last week rather than today. You never actually gave me a proper date.
Never mind.
But, I mean, apart from that, though, obviously, Daniel Ricciardo, Oscar Piastri, really Fernando Alonso, to be honest. Mark Webber, of course, yeah, kind of just decided instead they would just basically light a stick of dynamite on the F1 driver transfer news. Because, I mean, we spoke about this a few weeks ago and we were kind of a bit upset with how dead F1 2022 driver news was going to be. And now suddenly everyone's moving teams and no one knows what to believe anymore, which is kind of mad, isn't it?
Yeah. And it, rather amusingly, has all blown up in the face of Alpine, who I'm not particularly fond of. So that's all quite funny.
No, exactly. But I mean, do we want to talk about that first or should we just quickly discuss the
Hungarian
Grand Prix? We'll do a bit of admin first of all, of course. Hungarian Grand Prix then, Jamie. Very, very weird in my eyes because there's no way a driver should be able to go 10th to 1st at Hungary and it still not be a hugely memorable drive. Like, don't get me wrong, Max did really well, but that should have been, like, one of the best drives of the year. But Ferrari kind of handed it to him.
Well, we'll get straight to that, really, because, at the point where Leclerc got past Russell on his medium tyres, when they're both on medium tyres, the race was in Leclerc's hands. He was, 5 seconds clear of second place?
Yep. And pulling away.
He seemed to have the fastest car on the day. And then what on earth were Ferrari thinking, putting him on hard tyres? I do feel for Leclerc there, but
he's gotta just do a science,
and Sainz did the proper strategy and still only finished fourth, so it was a very complete Ferrari self-destruct and Leclerc ended up finishing sixth when the race was in his hands, which is yet more points that Ferrari have thrown away by being incompetent, and the driver has sometimes thrown them away as well, to be fair. But must be getting on for three figures of points that they've lost through reliability or strategy or mistakes now.
It is quite impressive, though, isn't it? The fact that often, you know, we talk about a failed championship campaign as either being driver error, team error, or reliability. And Charles Leclerc and Ferrari are going for the whole trifecta.
Yeah, they're trying to do the bingo card of every reason you might fail.
You don't see many. I'm trying to think of, like, the last time we saw a season where it was all three that seemingly were just absolutely throwing away. Because, I mean, let's be fair. Let's not take anything away from Max Verstappen, first of all. He did do a fantastic race.
He
won despite spinning as well.
Just passed Leclerc twice for a laugh.
Exactly.
He went, 10th to 1st? It wasn't handed to him. He had to make the moves on track, basically all of them, or the undercut at least. Like, the in and out laps were very good from him. But it wasn't particularly difficult. It's just kind of he's the best driver on the grid right now and one of the best cars on the grid. So, it just seemed a bit simple. And he was leading for, the last 20, 30 laps?
Yeah.
So it wasn't even like it was a shock. It was just like, oh, Verstappen's won. Cool.
I mean, we all kind of expected to Ferrari just to throw it away again, weren't we?
Yeah.
But still annoying. What I've loved about Ferrari, though, this week is, of course, like we've said, we've discussed their throwing away the championship and the whole trifecta. Mattia Binotto has still come out and said nothing needs to change.
Yeah, yeah. After the week before that, proclaiming they're going to get a 1-2 finish at Hungary before getting not pole and a 4-6. So, there we go. It's very strange. I can't remember who the big boss man at Ferrari is now, like, above Mattia.
Oh, what, the Fiat guy? The little Italian guy with glasses?
Yeah.
I mean,
but
that's a
surely,
terrible explanation.
Surely his patience is running
thin.
It's
not Mattiacci, is it? No.
No.
I'm going to have to Google that now because it's going to really annoy me otherwise.
But yeah, but I'm thinking back to 2014. I mean, that was a whole, like, to be fair to Ferrari, at least their car's actually good now. Back then it was bad and couldn't run themselves properly. But surely there's got to be some sort of changes.
Marchionne, sorry.
Sergio.
Sergio, no. But he's not there anymore.
I thought he died.
No, yes. Yeah, he did, I think, didn't he? That's terrible.
No, who is it?
That's who I was thinking of. He did die, like, 4 years ago. That's shocking podcasting by me. I'm
oh,
so
dear.
Sorry.
this is why not am good. I on Mattia Binotto's Wikipedia page? No. All right, well, you keep looking for that. I'll talk about George Russell being an absolute legend in qualifying.
Yes, please do, before I dig myself a hole.
Yeah. Yeah, and also Leclerc being a fraud and losing to Sainz in quali, but you won't hear about it because they gave Sainz a slow stop on purpose in the first stop. Yeah, Russell pulled out of the bag. First pole position ever, yeah, for him. Very, very good job. Mercedes weren't expecting it at all, especially when in free practice on Saturday morning they were like over a second off the lead. Obviously, different conditions. But yeah, Russell really pulled out of the bag. Pretty amazing. Helped, of course, by Verstappen having those engine problems and Hamilton's DRS not opening in Q3. So the two best drivers in Q3, neither of them could actually qualify.
Ferrari's website is down, by the way.
Oh, that's
just thought I'd let you know.
It's a complete F1 shutdown. Even the servers have gone home.
You try and load up Ferrari.com and it just doesn't work. Ever, there's the most Ferrari thing I've ever seen.
Yeah, but yeah, Russell first ever pole. Unfortunately, couldn't convert it to a win, but he still did a pretty good job in the race. He held
admirably,
yeah, for a while, and then I think by the end, yeah, it was cool that Mercedes let the drivers fight, but I think Hamilton just had a bit too much.
Yes, well, so. I mean, this was the thing, wasn't it? You know, Hamilton said after the race, had he not had the issues in qualifying, he reckons he could have won that. And to be fair,
yeah,
he was only 8-9 seconds behind Max at the end. I believe him.
I get the feeling Verstappen wasn't pushing as hard as he needed to.
Probably not right towards the end, but I still think, you know, if Hamilton had started pole, I think he could have controlled the early stages there. And he is mega
really
at the Hungaro ring.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's not forget that either.
Yeah, definitely. Maybe he would have done, but also I'm sure if it was in that situation, Hamilton's like on the pole and Verstappen's in 10th and Verstappen finishes second still, they would have just said at Red Bull, like, oh, we would have won that if we qualified properly.
Yes,
so
exactly. I mean, it is just complete context, but I did, you know, we're sort of looking and more, aren't we? At
Mercedes surely
win this
are gonna
year?
Get they're gonna get race wins.
Surely. Well,
with the way Ferrari do their best to not get race wins, there's going to be a gap opening up.
You'd hope so, wouldn't you? You really would. But yeah. I mean, we want to do at some point later on in the summer break, we're going to try and predict the last few races of the year. So that's going to be very, very interesting. So make sure you get yourself following the channel for that. Let's not beat around the bush, Jamie. Driver of the day was Max Verstappen, wasn't it?
Yep.
You can't really argue
definitely.
Against that. In terms of our predictions, though, you absolute sweat. Like, who on earth? After qualifying, been thinking your predictions were screwed.
People who watched the pre-race, I completely messed around. I've been waiting to do it all year. I was like, I want to pick Alonso podium just because it's funny. Hungary looked like it might have been a wet race. Turns out it wasn't. But I was like, you know what? Let's just throw Alonso on the podium for a laugh.
And
he didn't really get anywhere near. He did get best of the rest, to be fair to him.
No, Lando didn't he?
No, Lando did.
Yeah.
Alonso, yeah, got almost best of the rest. Nowhere near third place, which is where I put him. But, I took the rest of it seriously, so I put Verstappen and Hamilton 1-2. And that exactly came off.
And so you got 4 points there.
Yep,
I put pole for Leclerc, which was wrong because he's a fraud. I put win for Leclerc, which was wrong because Ferrari are frauds. But I did get Max and Hamilton on the podium, which netted me two whole points.
I got four and you got two.
Yep, so Jamie once again extends the gap, which I find incredibly frustrating.
I don't know how it's happening, but it's all good.
Just by pure luck and just the most eggy predictions I've ever seen. It's the problem. I reckon this year I've had as many podium predictions correct as you, just not in the right places.
Yeah, well, I think I'm averaging about 4 points a race, which
that's
is pretty mad.
That's just bizarre. I don't like doing this.
Shall
next
we do
year,
a quick roundup
of
the F1 fantasy?
Let's go over to F1 fantasy, Jamie. I'm guessing we did not do well this week.
It was a pretty shocking week for the template. So, yeah, obviously, most people have the Verstappen, Leclerc, Ferrari combo.
I don't.
With one of the Alpines and then a couple of back-end drivers.
I don't.
So, do you not? What is your team at the minute?
I've got Russell, Verstappen, Leclerc, Alpine, Albon and Magnussen.
Yeah, so you've basically gone for Russell and Alpine over Ferrari and one of the Alpine drivers.
Do you blame me?
Not really, no.
No, there we go. So with that, I've definitely scored more than you this week.
I got, with my team of Verstappen, Leclerc, Ferrari, Alonso, Albon and Joe, I got 141. Which has got stunned silence from Matt.
I got 139.
Oh, wow. There we go.
I just
it's pretty poor.
My team.
It's
and
a pretty, pretty poor
worse.
Week from both of us, but yeah, you did worse than me.
I did bad.
Although saying that,
week.
my like rank for the week in Matt's league was 1,101. So that's not that bad
going.
Out of 5K or whatever on now. 4.47.
4.47. That is genuinely mind-blowing. Up to nearly 4,500 people in this league. I reckon next year we aim for at least 5K.
Oh, yeah, definitely. We
definitely.
Can do that.
So where are you currently then, Jamie, in the league?
I am 499th.
That's good going.
It.
I'm 706th. How many points are you ahead of me still? It's not many, is it?
Well, I only extended by two. I'm on 2310.
I'm on... Eh? Oh, sorry, I'm on 2271. So,
yeah, so
there's
not
39 points in it still.
You might have a chance of winning that one. So
Hopefully by the end of the year. In terms then, Jamie, of race rating from the Hungaro ring,
yeah,
what are we going to give it?
It was good. It wasn't like Silverstone, but it was certainly entertaining. You kept on the edge of your seat. Or maybe not the edge of your seat, but it was intriguing, I should say. Like, strategies were always there. Drivers were close enough that we had a bit of a top six battling rather than just a top one or two. I'll go for a 7.
A solid 7. I think, I mean, normally I rate these races slightly higher than you, and I'm going to continue that trend today. I think it was worthy of an 8.
Very nice.
I think it was a good weekend. You know, we had that little bit of tension as well towards the end with the rain. But I think a solid 8 is fair.
It's been a while since the F1 just looked at clouds all race, thinking there's rain on the way.
Yeah, it has been a little while, hasn't it? Yeah,
that was like every race for a period of time.
We have missed that so far this year. Let's jump into the real talk then, Jamie.
Yeah, everything that's kicked off since then, which is...
the carnage that has ensued. So, do you want to give us a bit of a rundown from the beginning?
Timeline of events starting on Monday morning.
Nope, we'll go back even further. We're doing last Thursday.
Okay, Sebastian Vettel announced his retirement after turning down a contract extension from Aston Martin, leaving them the summer break to find a new driver. Over the weekend of the Hungarian Grand Prix, Lawrence Stroll and Fernando Alonso have a few coffees, go on a few dates, and...
apparently they've been doing it beforehand.
Oh, really? Well, as far as I know, Aston were trying to get Vettel back. Alonso was not the first choice.
No.
But yeah, once Vettel retired, he was the first choice.
Did make me chuckle. All the people on Twitter saying that Alonso snuffed Seb out of a seat.
Because that didn't happen.
Did enjoy that. Definitely.
Vettel fans looking for more reasons to dislike Alonso. Yeah, so Alonso is announced.
Jamie's being
Aston
arrested.
Martin. Yep, there's so shockingly there's some police cars or ambulances in Manchester City Centre. Who could have thought that? yeah, Alonso goes to Aston Martin kind of out of the blue on the 1st of August,
well, he's
which is very important.
Out of the blue, being
out of the blue into the green.
Yeah, sorry, that was a really bad pun.
That was shocking. Yeah, and we all think at this point, oh, that's weird, we didn't see that coming. But obviously, Alpine are just going to promote Oscar Piastri into the seat. That makes perfect sense, because he's their reserve driver, he's a young driver, he should be in his seat already and isn't. Yeah, and then that's exactly how he played out. Alpine announced Piastri the day after, I believe. Was it Tuesday? Was it Monday?
It was the 2nd of August, wasn't it?
Yeah, so it would have been Tuesday, the 2nd. They announced Piastri, curiously without a press release quote from Piastri, who was busy sleeping in Australia at the time of the announcement. And yeah, when he woke up, him and Mark Webber announced that he wasn't driving for Alpine next season, which all got a bit weird. And it is, I think I understand what's gone on, but it is a bit weird. So
I mean, it is just Alonso. Let's not beat around the bush here. There's no other way to describe it. It's Alonso shithousery.
It's complete Fernando Alonso summed up. It's pretty hilarious for him, to be fair. Basically, there was a clause in Piastri's contract as Alpine reserve that says, on the 1st of August, if you haven't got me a seat at Alpine, I can talk to other teams.
Well, it was basically, wasn't it, just by the 1st of August, if there's a seat at Alpine before the 1st of August,
I have to
Oscar
take it.
Has to take it. Once the 1st of August runs around, he has no obligation to take that seat if he's in talks with other teams.
Yes. Yeah.
So what does Alonso do?
Alonso blindsides Alpine because he had a contract offer on the table of a 1 year
with an option of a second year.
Aston Martin gave him a 3 year deal, which is kind of mad at 42 or 41, sorry. But yeah, he completely blindsided Alpine by leaving that abruptly, and it's kind of brought the house down.
I mean,
because not only have they lost Alonso, who's their best driver of their current drivers, in my opinion, and fact, they've also lost their future driver, who would have been incredible for the next, like, however long they could have kept him. He would have been really good.
I mean, imagine being the Alpine board and going, right, we've got Fernando Alonso, one of the best drivers of his generation, still on the payroll at the moment. You know, he can still bring El Plan. We've got Oscar Piastri, a future world champion, you know, different gravy material. Imagine going away, coming back Tuesday to look at your driver pen, and it's just Esteban Ocon there, all by himself.
They've not even got young drivers, really, either.
Well, Lundgaard's gone as well, haven't he? They've literally got, is it Collet, and that's about it?
Yeah, Collet in F3, and Victor Martins, is he?
Well, no, what's the English fraud guy as well?
Oh, Ollie Caldwell. He's terrible. Yeah.
He's going to end up with an F1 seat without knowing where the seat belts are or something like that. I mean, it's just, imagine. I mean, Otmar Safnauer.
Oh, Jack Doohan's quite good. But
Jack
Doohan,
yeah, no, he's. I like Jack Doohan, to be fair. But I mean, imagine being Otmar Safnauer and literally
absolute
just seeing
nightmare.
Like years worth of Alpine development in terms of drivers just fall apart. I think what I love about it the most, though, I mean, like we said, neither of us are Alpine fans. I guess unless you're French, it's probably a bit difficult to warm to them anyway. Unless you're French or a huge Alonso, or I don't know whether...
Well, I do like Alonso. I want to see Alonso do well, but...
Yes, yeah.
In the situation where he would leave, I then stop caring about Alpine.
But so, I mean,
a bit like when Hulk was there, really.
Alonso, let's be fair. Let's just recap this. Burnt bridges at McLaren twice. Burnt bridges at Ferrari. Burnt bridges before they were even formed, between himself, Mercedes and Red Bull. Through wanting ridiculous contracts from them during the turbo.
Well, he actually had an offer for Red Bull for 2009 to replace.
Yes, well, I'm talking more turbo hybrid. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
But he chose. He didn't see the project, and then he could have been a 6-time champ.
Could have been. But the one team Alonso hasn't upset up to now was Renault or Alpine, so they give him a chance to come back. You know, this is meant to be, you know, the revival.
He's gone to,
world title
he's gone to Renault
three.
Slash Alpine 3 times.
Yep, and both other times it's worked. Second time round was a bit iffy, but, you know, we move.
He got one legit win.
He did, so. Yep. Everyone always forgets about Suzuka. It's a very good point. Fuji,
well,
even,
it
sorry.
Was Fuji, yeah. That's
why everyone forgets about it, because it's the wrong track.
Yeah.
But imagine then, after all these years of, you know, trying to sort of get back in with Alpine and everything like that, and then you just decide to do the same thing to them as you've done to everyone else. I mean, Alonso. Yeah. I mean, let's be fair. Aston Martin is going to just destroy him from the inside. Like, yeah. He's going to get down there, and it's just going to be six team members cradling Lance Stroll as he plays with crayons or something and tries to work out...
Alonso will have, like, one engineer versus the 50 that are working on Stroll's car and still out-qualify him every race.
I mean, he's going to get three races in and one out, isn't he?
Yeah, I think... To be fair to Aston Martin, they do have a lot of infrastructure stuff going
on,
which won't...
Yeah, but they're going to bottle it. Come on.
The thing is, Force India used to be like, quite a well-run organisation. It feels like since Stroll bought them out, it's not really gone that well.
No.
But it'll be very interesting to see. I do see Stroll getting Nelson Piquet, Stoffel van Dorn, because he can't qualify anyway.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't think Stroll's going anywhere for any time soon.
I mean, I guess the other real question is, isn't it really is, what happens if Stroll pretty much matches Alonso in the same way he's pretty much matched Seb? I mean, let's just take this into consideration for 1 second.
Everyone will rate Stroll so highly if he does that, including me. I'd back Stroll. If he goes out and beats Alonso, I would stop disliking him.
We've got that on the record. Jamie will stop disliking him.
You can replay that in a year's time when Stroll's 13-0 against Alonso.
Yeah, exactly. Let's talk about then probably the unfortunate... Well, I say unfortunate mover in all this. I don't think it's such a bad thing because we all know it's looking like Piastri is going to be going to McLaren.
Yeah, now, Mark Webber's worked his magic really well there to get him in McLaren, by the way.
Exactly. First of all, Piastri Lando Norris has got the potential to be a just insane lineup in the future.
Yeah.
I mean, that is spice.
Very exciting. McLaren just needs to sort out making a car capable of winning races now.
Yes, yeah.
but yeah, the driver lineup, if they can retain both of them for the long term, that's
I mean, Lando's locked
incredible.
In.
Yeah.
And I can see Oscar Piastri staying there a little while, if he gets the gig. But of course, that means Daniel Ricciardo's going to get shuffled out. And again, a lot of people are hating on this. I think Ricciardo back to Alpine is probably the best thing for him.
Yeah. It'll be a weird one, because he kind of stitched him up when he left. But it would make sense. Like, he's not really got many other options, really, unless he does want to go to IndyCar. But you imagine that...
Williams is about it, isn't it?
But Williams, there's no way they've got the money for him, unless he wants to really cut at his wage.
Is he going to get any... Well, I mean, Alpine, yeah, probably the only team that will pay him big money. So.
Yeah. And the only other option for him is to stay in the McLaren family and do IndyCar, but I don't see him wanting to do that if he's been forced out of F1 early.
Not yet. No, exactly. Exactly.
So yeah, it's a bit of a shame for him, but he has been underperforming for 2 years. Or 1.5 years, sorry. So yeah, I think back to Alpine, it would be a bit weird because it'd kind of be like both of them have just been screwed over. So it's almost like the rebound couple between both of them. Like going back to your ex because the current one screwed you over.
Yes, yeah. Yeah, you've both gone back to your exes because your current partners have cheated on you with each other.
Yeah.
Which isn't quite what's happened, but yeah. I mean, it is just bizarre, isn't it? Just the fact that, like we said, you know, we spoke about driver transfer news over the last few weeks, and it was nothing. And now suddenly it's everywhere. I mean, we've got a few other bits and pieces to talk about as well, don't we, in terms of driver transfer news. Williams have got an empty seat still. Now, I think everyone under the sun is hoping, unless you're Nicholas Latifi's family, bless him. I don't dislike the guy. I mean, I think his lack of wheel ability is horrendous, but surely he's out the door. Surely he's out the door. You can't have someone like him in a fourth year in a Formula One car. Although then again, Stroll's in season 7 coming into.
But Stroll is actually all right sometimes. Latifi has had a Q3 at Silverstone, and that's his entire career.
Hungary last year?
And a Q3 at Belgium, which he also got.
Did he?
Oh no, he qualified 11th, but then got points because people ahead of him crashed on the formation lap.
Yeah. Perez.
Yeah, Perez and Norris didn't start, of course, because he...
Norris started 10th, I thought.
No, he didn't.
Oh,
no,
did he start from the pit lane?
He pulled out. Oh. Yeah, he started from the pit, sorry.
Fair enough.
But yeah, 52 entries in F1, 27 years old.
27? I'd forgot about that.
Yeah, surely he's going. And I, for one, I want Logan Sargeant to get it.
I mean,
I have
it's
no bones about it.
Really a toss-up, isn't it, at the moment, of either Sargeant, De Vries, or Piastri if Ricciardo wants to stay at McLaren.
Mm. Yeah.
Or Ricciardo.
Yeah, I really don't see Ricciardo happening. No. Like, even back in the day when Hulk was looking for a seat, they couldn't afford Hulk. So Ricardo's contract is going to be mad. So yeah, I think one of your own, Logan Sargent. I think Nick DeVries.
What do you mean one of your own?
He's Williams Academy, isn't he?
Oh, right, okay. I thought you meant American.
No. yeah, I think Nick DeVries' ship has sailed almost, because it's been 4 years since he won F2.
Or it will have been 2023. Yeah, 3 years really, isn't it? Yeah, so 2 years at the moment.
Well, three complete seasons of no racing.
Well, he's been doing other stuff.
Oh, he's been doing FE, hasn't he? Yeah. But even so, he's also like 26, 27 now.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it just depends what Williams want, isn't it? Because, of course, we forgot to mention Albon signed a multi-year deal, isn't it?
Yeah.
Fair play. I think he absolutely deserves that with the season he's ran so far. Yeah, nice to see Albon getting some credit. And nice to see him somewhere where he actually feels happy as well in Formula 1, which is really good.
Yeah, and it's very well suited for him right now. So, fair play. Stay there as long as he needs. Yeah, I think Albon, well, he made his debut 2019, didn't he? So, he's going into his... third season, but we had a year out.
Yeah, he did. So 2019.
He did. Well, he debuted in 19. Yeah, did full 20 with Red Bull.
Yeah,
out in 21, and then back in 22.
Back in 22, yeah. So third season he's in.
So, I guess that is quite young to be leading a team, or quite inexperienced to be leading a team. But then, the experience wouldn't like. Nick DeVries in the car isn't really any more experience, other than he's just sat in Mercedes meetings for the past like 5 years.
Well, I think this is the thing, isn't it? You know, you sort of, again, it depends, because I mean, I've always wondered more recently whether we'll see Williams move away from Mercedes power.
Yeah,
I wonder whether we'll either see him become like an Alpine customer team, or I honestly, if I was going to put my money anywhere, I reckon they'll go Red Bull powertrains.
It wouldn't surprise me. And Porsche deal looks fairly likely with them now as well.
It's a guarantee, I thought. I thought Porsche had already bought a stake.
It's not been signed, but yeah, basically it's done. Or no, but Porsche to completely take over the Red Bull powertrains in 2026.
Yeah. I think we could see Williams really change up their model over the next few years. And I think Albon's a fantastic place to have that. But I wouldn't be surprised if they say just brought in DeVries for 1 year, just to sort of see how he gets on, and then bring up Sargent. Or something like that.
Yeah, maybe. And Sargent obviously needs the super license points, which shouldn't be an issue as long as he's top five-ish in F2.
Yeah, which he's on in track four, isn't he?
Yeah, he's still third in the championship. Obviously, as soon as I pin my colours to the mast and back Logan Sargent, he has a terrible weekend in Hungary.
Of course.
For reliability issues, of course. But yeah, it looks like he should get top five in the championship quite comfortably.
Yes, yeah. We'll wait and see now as he finishes ninth, but you know. I guess the only other really sort of driver transfer news we've got, isn't it? Or not driver transfer news necessarily, is could we see Mick Schumacher leave Haas? And I honestly believe he might swap with Zhou Guanyu.
That'd be a curious one.
I mean,
it's basically confirmed he is going to leave the Ferrari Driver Academy.
Yes. Yeah.
So that is who that seat is for, the second Haas seat.
And but is Zhou Guanyu a Ferrari Junior?
He used to be. A long time ago. Yeah, there's that TikTok with him and Leclerc doing dances, isn't there?
Yeah, I'd rather not remember that, to be honest.
But yeah, it's a curious one, because Mick, you feel like his best place at the minute is to stay at Haas, but if he wants to leave Ferrari Driver Academy, he kind of has to vacate that seat, because it's for those drivers, unless Haas want to cut ties with Ferrari as well. In which case, they can give it to whoever they want.
Not convinced he'll leave the FDA just yet.
I think he maybe left it on the hope of getting the Aston seat.
I think that was a big part of it, yeah.
Yeah.
Because the big talk, wasn't it, was Seb wanted Mick to replace him.
Yeah. Which is complete sentimentality over sense.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see. I don't think... If I was to guess now, I think it would still be Magnussen and Schumacher next year at Haas.
I wouldn't be against Joe and Mick swapping, though. I think that would be really interesting.
But you've still got the issue with Porsche, then.
Yes, that's the other thing, isn't it? Porsche desperately needs an F1 gig at some point soon.
I think maybe 2023, he may have to sit out a year. Especially
do an
if
Oscar
he wins
Piastri
F2.
Sort of thing.
Yeah.
I don't think he'll win F2 this year. I think we're going to see another F2 driver in Drugovich and then not make the step up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I don't think Djokovic will get a seat anywhere, really.
We need more teams.
Yeah, yeah. Another thing that I did, going back a bit, sorry, to we didn't plan the script or anything.
No.
That's not even sarcasm, we genuinely didn't. You don't know where I'm going with this, but
I've got no idea. This could be anything.
If McLaren don't snake Ricciardo out, and they do keep Ricciardo, and obviously Piastri's basically burned his bridges with Alpine now, he could end up being snapped up by Red Bull, which would be incredible, and end up at AlphaTauri.
Not convinced he'd want to go there.
Well, surely, if he did a year in AlphaTauri or 2 years in AlphaTauri, he would be nailed on for that Red Bull seat once Perez gets bored.
If or things Red went
Bull,
well.
Red Bull get bored of Perez, sorry.
I'm yeah. just not convinced that's the right way for Piastri to go.
I don't think he...
And I can't see Mark Webber trying to push him down the Red Bull Avenue either,
that's
funnily
true,
enough.
Actually. But Webber spent so many years at Red Bull, he must have some friends there still.
Oh, yeah, I'm not saying... Well, when I was at Silverstone, Mark Webber's dad was in the back of the Red Bull garage for a little while, which I thought was really interesting. But I can't see Mark Webber actively pushing one of F1's youngest new talents straight into Red Bull's hands.
Maybe.
Although we say all this, of course, after he left Red Bull, he was a Porsche driver for a long time.
Mm. Yeah, and like Webber... There was bad blood with Vettel, but I don't think it was bad blood with the rest of the team. He was.
He didn't like Christian Horner and Helmut Marko because they kept protecting Vettel.
Yeah.
That was the
but then I think if he was to look back at that in hindsight, he could almost see why they were doing that. Obviously, it hurt, but. Yeah.
Yeah, you never know. You never quite know.
But if, I don't know, Alpine get Gasly, because also there's talk of, well, it's basically confirmed, there is a release clause. That Gasly can move up the grid effectively, like if a team above AlphaTauri in the championship,
which is
makes
most
an
of
offer,
them at the moment,
which is basically all of them, he can leave. So if Alpine was to make an offer, which I don't think will happen because Ocon and Gasly don't like each other,
but it would be a very French team.
It would be, and that would be ideal for them. So say if that happens, there's a vacancy at AlphaTauri. There's no real option, maybe Liam Lawson, but I think that he's. Missed his opportunity this season almost. Isaac Hadjar was a shout, but I don't think that'll happen.
No, he needs another year.
Yeah, well, he's only in F3 at the minute. I think he will win the championship, but there's no way, like, only really special talents can make the step up from F3 to F1, such as Lance Stroll. So, yeah, Piastri into the Red Bull family, maybe. He'd absolutely snap Tsunoda up.
But this is the thing, if he didn't,
come on, Piastri is one of those drivers.
Oh, yeah. No, and this is but Red Bull does weird things to people.
It does, yeah.
I just think, at the moment, I just want to believe, you know, he's going to go to McLaren, Ricciardo's going to go to Alpine, and things are going to settle down from there.
Yeah.
I mean, there's so much speculation, isn't there, at the moment? It is just rampant everywhere.
Also, I put a message in our chat in the week. Like, 10 years ago, we're in a summer break in 2012. You've got fast forward 10 years and you effectively got Vettel and Alonso, the two championship protagonists, replacing each other at Force India, which I quite like.
Which is mad.
There's quite a lot more speculation, but do you want to go into that? I think the AlphaTauri seats are a bit up for grabs. I don't know how
I'm not
much.
Convinced. I think AlphaTauri are going to stay pretty stable into next year.
I think they can. I think if Gasly's wanted, he will try and get out because that car is just going backwards.
But I don't think that'll be till 2024.
Maybe not. Yeah. Depends. It all depends on what happens to the Alpine seat, to be fair. Tsunoda, he'll probably get another year, but he's not doing great at the minute. Like,
he's pretty much
Hungary
matched here.
Well, Hungary was particularly... He's matched him on like certain results. Like, I think Gasly is beating him in the points quite easily. But
by a lot,
certain races, like, Tsunoda's been a bit 2021-ish, where he just, like, finishes 17th when Gasly's in 11th or 10th.
When?
It's like, well, in Hungary, he finished last.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, basically, he just... Yeah.
So, currently, Yuki Tsunoda is 5 points behind Sebastian Pierre Gasly.
Yeah, and Gasly lost 4 in Bahrain.
Oh, here we
Tsunoda
go.
Tsunoda gained 2 from that DNF. But anyway, like, Gasly is, like, despite the points, obviously the points are less readily available this year completely. But, yeah, it's been very unfortunate for both drivers to not be able to show their true colours this season. Tsunoda probably will get another year. But if there was a young Red Bull driver pushing the ranks, I think he probably would be out the door. But
yes,
luckily for Yuki, there isn't.
No, exactly. Exactly. There's, I think, still a lot more to play and a lot more speculation, isn't there?
Yeah.
As we get into the second half of the year, though. I mean, we could literally just ramble on for hours, couldn't we? What might happen.
Yeah, and knowing our luck, by the time this podcast goes out, it'll all be confirmed.
it'll be wrong anyway, so... Yeah, I think... Is there anything else we wanted to touch upon, Jamie?
I don't know if there was, really.
I don't think so, was there? I mean, we're probably forgetting something glaring.
No, we got summer break, of course. Yeah, I'm leaving the country twice in a week to different countries in, like, 2 weeks' time.
That was mysterious, wasn't it, for no reason? Where are you going on holiday, Jamie?
Yeah, I'm away in Spain, and then I come back and go straight to the Belgian Grand Prix.
Fair enough. And I'm away next week as well.
I don't know how consistent these how weekly these podcasts will be during.
Well, they're going to be weekly. We're going to try and keep them weekly.
Yeah,
we're just going to have to record them way in advance and probably miss out on news. So we apologise for that.
It'll be knowing last month's wheel.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, knowing wheel that everyone knows already because it's already been confirmed by the time we talk about it, which is always fun. Always, always fun. But I guess we should round it out there then for this week's ever most rambly of episode. Thank you as always, Jamie. You know, it's nice to have you back on the show as always. Make sure you check out all the links down below, because I realised we forgot to mention those at the start of the show. So Spotify, Manscaped, F1 merch, clips, everything like that. I definitely recommend checking it out. Bybit as well, of course, the big one. And yeah, we'll be back then. I think next week we're going to do a bit of a special show where we look back at our pre-season predictions, because I know full well I egged some of those.
I think I smashed it a lot of the time.
I think we'll wait and find out next week when we're back. But thank you all so much for listening, and we will return very, very soon with more Knowing Wheel.